8 o'clock hour. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden producing the operation. Josh Naylor traded from the D-backs to the Mariners. The moves have begun for the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are a talented team. They took a lot of injuries. They've been up and down. They've been playing decent as of late. But Josh Naylor, he goes to the Mariners. He was hitting .292 this year, 11 home runs, 59 ribs, 102 hits. Josh Naylor was playing some good baseball for the D-backs, but open up the floodgates now. Zach Gallen, Eugenio Suarez. That's the dude I like. I like Suarez, man. That guy is just, I don't care about his average or anything. Dude hits bombs. And he's got 3 grand slams this year. Dude's clutch, but I don't see him here because I don't see a fit here. But you never know.
I mean, I think we all were wondering, are the Diamondbacks going to sell or are they going to buy? They were one of those teeter-totter teams, and this would
They've made their move.
This would suggest that they're waving the white flag a little bit on this season and saying it's time to
sell. The Royals are. The Royals are kind of like the Diamondbacks of the National League. Very similar records. But the Diamondbacks have chosen it with Josh Naylor trading that. Andy Reid spoke a lot about different things. By the way, he talked about Kareem Hunt. A full offseason, because remember last year he's on the couch, comes in, stayed in great shape. Give Kareem a ton of credit for that, because sometimes guys don't if you don't have a team, but he did, man. He was ready to go. He gets the chance to come back to the Chiefs. I'm glad they gave him the opportunity to come back, but this is what Andy Reid had said about him.
You know, he's had an offseason. He kind of missed 2 offseasons there, and he had this offseason, worked hard. Now he's coming into training camp. He's in good shape, and I would expect good things. He'll be in there rotating and doing his thing, and he's just a good, solid football player. Man. Love having him here.
Rotating, doing his thing. Dude is tough. I like that. I do miss P. Ryan, though. Like, Smizer P. Ryan. I was so excited when the Chiefs signed him, when the Broncos cut him.
I knew you were a big P. Ryan fan. You talked about it before, and he served Smizer. His purpose. He did exactly what he was brought in to do.
Yeah, that was a good dude. But Kareem Hunt coming back, I'm glad. Listen, they did give Elijah Mitchell more guaranteed money than Kareem Hunt, but Kareem Hunt was the ultimate in case emergency break glass. That's the guy you trusted down the stretch to pick up that big third down, that big fourth down and one. Carry this team. Be that guy. Be that dependable guy that you can depend on. I think it's big that he's back at training camp now. You have that full training camp under your belt in St. Joe. Listen, I know he's been with Andy Reid before, but the offense does change. Like, the terminology, especially offensive coordinators, they've changed, you know, since he's been here, but it's the same flow. He's still got the same quarterback. It's still the same deal. He knows Mahomes. They've been buddies for a while, so that's actually worked out. Andy did talk this about the Badger, because we talked about Brett Veach's big moves, and clearly I think the Honey Badger is one of them. Because, you know, I can't give, you know, 2019 was about Mahomes, not the Badger, but the Badger helped fix that defense, because that defense was so bad in 18. That Mahomes' first MVP, remember how bad that was? They lost the game when they scored over 50 points against the Rams. They lost when they scored over 40 points. It didn't matter. Every time Mahomes was on the bench, the other team was scoring a touchdown.
Like Texas Tech.
So that's why Texas Tech, Pat, 128 scoring defense, right? When he's at Texas. But that's why he threw for 5,000 yards and over 50 touchdowns, because he had to.
Didn't have a choice.
Like I've been saying, with a quarterback, if those numbers come down to 4,100 yards and 35 touchdowns to 40 touchdowns, that doesn't mean anything. 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns oftentimes means your defense sucked. Now, I get it. The other time he threw for 5,000 yards in a season, the defense was still 16th in scoring defense, so he still had to score points when he was out there. But this is what Reid said about the Badger.
Make all kinds of funny noises.
That was good. All kinds of funny noises. I love Andy Reid saying that. How about that?
Make all kinds of funny noises.
Look, that's a good quote from Andy Reid.
Make all kinds of funny noises.
I mean, the Honey Badger don't care. And I'll never forget, I mean, that was such a thing at LSU when he was there, man. The Honey Badger and the Honey Badger videos. And you had Snoop, remember when he did the animal stuff, and the Honey Badger. And I'd love to play some of it. Like, the Honey Badger don't care. The Honey Badger doesn't give blank. I can't, because there's a lot of cussing in it.
FCC friendly.
Well, Dusty and I played it one night, but we had to stop it real quick because we realized we hit the wrong one, and then we were hitting the dump button a million times. But Dusty was here producing that night that the Badger signed. Because everybody's like, where are they going to sign him? When are they going to sign him? When are they going to sign somebody? And they did. They went and got the Honey Badger, and he did help turn around that defense. He kind of set the template for what this defense was moving forward. And not only that, just the transitional type of people at the draft were looking for that type of player, a guy that could be a safety, a guy that could be a corner. He could be good in the return game. But he really did set the tempo for what we look for in defensive backs now. Like, he was kind of on that forefront. Now, Chris Jones has kind of been that trendsetter too. Big guys that can play on the outside and the inside. So the Chiefs have several guys, because now the NFL is all about versatility. But I really look at the Honey Badgers as one of those first guys kind of on that leading edge of versatility for defensive backs.
Well, I think more so than even the talent, which was obviously evident. When you brought in Tyrann Mathieu and you brought in Frank Clark that offseason, it was a mindset shift on the defense, especially bringing in Spags too. I always think back to that AFC title game. Derrick Henry had been running over everybody. Frank Clark said, he's not going to come do that here. Like, we're not going to let him come do that. And him and Tyrann Mathieu just had an attitude. They gave that defense an identity it didn't have the year before. And ultimately, when they needed a stop to win the Super Bowl against San Francisco, those were the guys who came up big.
Well, and you think about some of these teams. You think about Glenn going to the Jets, and then Ben Johnson going to the Bears. Like, Andy Reid, he's had different, you know, offensive coordinators. Obviously, Matt Nagy came back, but it was an NFL Coach of the Year. Let's not forget, he did take the Bears to the postseason with Mitch Trubisky. I mean, I'm serious, that there is street cred doing that.
That earned Coach of the Year
but
for doing that.
But Andy calls the play, so that's fine. But the combination and Spags not getting those opportunities to be a head coach, like, that has helped the Chiefs so much. Just to have that 1-2 punch stability. Like, you keep that stability. It's why these, you know, great college football programs, you know, the Nebraskas of the world and Florida State and all that, because they kept their coaches, man. They kept their coaches. You kept the offensive coordinator, kept the defensive coordinator, because the days then transitioned into you have a good year and you score 25 points a game, you're another head coach at another conference. But keeping Spags and Reed together is, I think, made so much difference for this team. I mean, Andy Reid's 3 wins shy of the all-time postseason win record. Belichick sits there with 31. Reid's got 28. Reid's the 4th winningest coach in NFL history. You got Spags with 4 rings, the most decorated defensive coordinator out there. I mean, when you look at this team and the success, do you say, well, it's because of Mahomes? Clearly, I think that would be number one if we had a pie chart. It'd be the biggest slice of pie, obviously, the quarterback. But another big one, though, is Reed and Tobe and Spagnuolo, you know, he's being together stalwarts. And then another big one, I think, is the front office, too. When you have the camp guys through the years like Tillis and Shea and those guys and Veach and Dorsey from then, and Chris Ballard was all part of this group. But the front office is what supplies the talent. The front office is what brought in 3 7th-round picks that helped the Chiefs win that Super Bowl 57 against the Eagles, right? I mean, the biggest buy, I think, clearly was Mahomes. But I think that coaching staff and that front office, they deserve a pretty big slice as well. You can't do it just one. You got to have them all working.
It feels like if you were just an AFC team that needed a head coach, would you just hire Spags just so the Chiefs couldn't have him? You know, it's like, take him away. How do they continue to keep Spags on this staff after winning over and over again? I'm surprised nobody's given Spags another shot at head coach. Maybe he doesn't want it. Maybe being the DC in Kansas City, a part of this dynasty, is exactly where he wants to be. It's a lot better than being the head coach of a bad football team.
Yeah, you would think that the Chiefs just really, for all the success they've had, 7 straight AFC title games, going to 5 Super Bowls with Mahomes, 3 wins, they just haven't been rated. Like, that's the thing. You would think you would earmark your team, how do we, because the Patriots were, their coaching staff was, and maybe the Patriots set the bar, and teams are like, all right, as long as Belichick's there and Brady, they're still going to win. Maybe it's the view now, like, hey, we've learned our lesson, that it's not Pioli, Weiss, Cornell, Bill O'Brien, these guys, Josh McDaniel, it's not these guys, it's Brady and Belichick, because when everything else falls, they're still there. Maybe they look at the Chiefs and think, it's Reed and Mahomes. You know, they caution. Because I thought Bieniemy would have been head coach too by this time, to be honest with you.
I mean, every single offseason it was like, I thought the Chargers were going to hire
him. Because he's going to hire Charger with the Super Bowl with him. I 2 rings.
Bieniemy had countless interviews to get hired, and just eventually he didn't leave to become a head coach. He left to be an OC somewhere else, just because at that point he was like, what else can I prove in Kansas City to get me to be a head coach? I got to go somewhere else and try this.
Now, I know the front office has been raided at times. Dorsey did get run here, but he did get right back with the Cleveland Browns right after that. And obviously, it didn't work out. Ballard went from the Chiefs front office to the GM of the Colts.
Right.
I get that. And Ryan Poles.
To the Bears.
You know, with the Chiefs. Now the Bears GM. I mean, you've seen this. The Panthers took one of the cap guys from them as an executive with the Panthers.
Not to mention the guy in Tennessee, their current GM, plucked from Kansas City as well.
Oh, that's right. Bergonzi.
Yep. They plucked him as well.
Yeah, so they have been raided. So Mike Bergonzi, yeah, that was did all that talent evaluation for the Chiefs through the year. So they have been raided. The one guy that's not been is Veach. Veach has been with Andy Reid since Philadelphia. Like that continuity of keeping Veach, Reid, Mahomes together. You know, that's your three-headed monster. You talk all the time about the quarterback, running back, receiver. That's your three-headed monster. Like Irvin, Aikman, Emmitt Smith. No, it's Reed, it's Mahomes, it's Veach.
I think you got to upgrade it to a four-headed with Spags.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think you got to even add him. Maybe we make it not a three-headed monster. Maybe we make it a Mount Rushmore.
But you need all these things, man. You just can't have the players doing their thing. They have to have the coach going with it. And you have to have the front office supplying talent, doing the scouting evaluations. And I like the way the Chiefs do it. It's not just a one-man show. It's involving the head coach. It's involving Spagnuolo with the defensive backs. Like Spags is instrumental with the draft with the Chiefs because they give him a handful of guys. Hey, watch this film with this guy. Would this guy fit in your system? And they draft guys for their system. The size, the speed, the body type, they whatever it is, Spags type guys they'll go get.
I think Philadelphia does a really good job of that too. Howie Roseman's crushed it, and
they do a great job.
But they get plucked. You know, Frank Reich got plucked to be a head coach. They had to replace him. Jonathan Gannon got plucked to be a head coach. They had to replace him. Shane Steichen. You know, they brought in Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. They were great. Now they have to do it again. Kellen Moore got a head coaching job.
Well, Roseman's done a great job because the Super Bowl was won because of his draft.
His roster construction was one of the best we've ever seen.
Well, the University of Georgia helped him out a lot,
too. It does help.
But you know what, though? Like, when he took Jalen Carter with the 9th pick, I know he had some, quote, character concerns, right? They saw right through it. And you know how many teams are kicking themselves for not drafting him? I would say at the time, man, they're letting the next Aaron Donald go. You don't want him ending up with the Eagles. They end up with the Eagles. Like, what's Jalen Carter to the Eagles, man?
If you believe in your culture, those are the type of guys you can bring in. You can afford to bring in. If you're the Browns and you take Jalen Carter and you think he has character concerns, might not be the greatest fit. But a winning culture like Philly, you feel more comfortable bringing in a guy like that.
They did their homework. They got him with the 9th pick. Keep in mind, Jalen Carter was considered a 1-1.
He could have gone 1-1.
He
could have gone 1-1.
Before the season.
No doubt. No doubt.
And they get him at 9th? You kidding me? I mean, it's a gift from Santa Claus. I mean,
it reminds me of when Laramie Tunsil that night fell in the draft to, I believe Miami was the team that finally
took
him.
Something legal in a ton of states now?
Yeah. Just because he was smoking some pot on video.
Well, he sure was, man. He had that.
Hit the bong in front of him, but,
but cares?
Today that wouldn't affect your draft stock at all. Back then, that took him from being a top 3 pick to not even being top 10.
Wouldn't matter at all. Andy Reid also spoke about a new draft pick, Jalen Royals, into the equation. Good things he said about him.
He looks like he's very smart because we're in our third install here today. And we load him up with plays early. And he's been able to retain a lot of the things the newer stuff that we introduced to him before and the new stuff we've introduced now. So that's a good sign. And then he's made some catches. You've seen it out here. He's made some catches. And does he have a long way to go? Yeah, well, he's got to keep working and work through all of this. And we'll see how it goes when everything's flying.
You know, that's kind of an underrated thing they do, too. They do draft smart guys. Is Xavier Worthy, by the way, academic All-Big 12. He blew him away at the combine. They show what he's supposed to be doing, what the linemen are supposed to block, you know, put the packages in and stuff. And Royals, same way. He's already learning the system, and Andy Reid kind of said, oh, he's a smart guy. Like, Andy Reid didn't put that kind of praise on people. He's like, nah, he's a smart guy. He's starting to understand what he's doing because his system's not exactly easy. And Jake Benningstool, by the way, or Benningstool, he did bring him up. So give the camp, give Jake some love here.
So Brett gets a credit for that one. He loved him and loved what he saw. And so far the kid has done a nice job. Again, let's see how he does when things get going, but he's working in there. It looks like the quarterbacks trust him. They're throwing it to him. So it's positive.
He gave the credit right there to Veach, Veach guy. I remember interviewing Brett Veach that first year he took over as GM, and I asked him because before Veach was the GM and was a scout, and Andy Reid would say, you know, Chris Jones, he really pounded the drum for certain guys. You know, he pounded the drum. I said, are you going to listen to other scouts, like come to your office, slam their hand on your desk and say, draft this guy, draft this guy, draft this guy? Because that was you, man. You were the dude trying to sell people on all the different prospects. Because you saw him, you say, you got to have draft this guy. Are you going to listen to them? He said, yes. And obviously he has.
It's worked out pretty well for him.
No, it's worked out great for him to this point. Coming up next, though, I told you we'd get into some NFL win totals. BetMGM win totals. We'll do that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours, Jay Binkley. Jackson Ogden producing the operation. You realize something, Jackson?
What's that?
We are less than a month from the first college football game in Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, I love it.
Farmageddon.
I love
it. Going overseas, man. K-State, Iowa State. We have the first NFL game next Thursday night at this time. Next week at this exact time.
There will be football.
There will be football being played.
Even if
it'll
be
bad football, because it'll be... This is worse than a preseason game bad, because
it's Hall of Fame game bad. That's the best way you can put it to someone.
It used to be, you know, that third game would be the game in preseason. They shortened it to three games. Now it's just hit or miss. There's a lot of the stars don't even play in the preseason. And man, yeah, there's some guys like when Hollywood Brown went down at Jacksonville game. I mean, you can't control some of that stuff. But again, preseason games, you're playing against people that want to make their mark, man. They want to make the team, so you never know what's exactly going to happen. But the three preseason, you know, we're going to two preseason games here real soon. Two preseasons,
yeah.
18th game regular season.
For sure. That's the way that it's heading.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100% what they're doing. So we'll see as we keep increasing international games. That is going to be tough for the Chiefs, man, going – boom, boom, playing in Brazil and coming back and playing the Super Bowl champion Eagles.
It's not easy.
No. I'll get to the Chiefs schedule because they're doing something with their schedule. It's never been done in the NFL, and I'll bring it up probably in the next segment. But the NFL over-under win totals, BetMGM. Okay, so four teams got the high water mark. The high water mark's 11.5. And by the way, it's raining in Mission, Kansas, since I can do my own weather report.
It's coming down now.
I gave you Lackawanna. I gave you the airport, Lake Lackawanna. I gave you the Mission, Kansas one because I can tell. I don't need to take it. Julio's it raining? Because Julio's
on his phone. He knows it's raining, though.
Okay.
We've been talking about the big lightning.
Okay. There's a lot of lightning. So the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Eagles at 11.5 wins. That's the most total. Now, keep in mind, Andy Reid averages about 12 wins a year with the Chiefs. It's right at the 12 mark since he's been here. 9-7 worst record here. Do all four of those teams win at least 11.5 games, or do you see one of them not doing it? Because I'll be honest with you, I think all four of those teams pass that 11.5 wins.
In the preseason, before anything's happened, you would assume yes. You know, there's always going to be an injury.
I don't
here.
See the Ravens falling apart. Lamar Jackson, he put up. Basically, he was better than Josh Allen in a lot of metrics last year. I mean, he could have won his third MVP.
Probably should
have. Derrick Henry's there. I think the Ravens are still going to be very good. I think that will be the Chiefs' biggest challenger, to be honest with you, in the AFC. The Bills, it's a favorable schedule, man.
They really do have a good schedule.
And that division sucks.
It does.
And 11.5, yeah.
I could see Buffalo getting a 14-win season.
And the other ones, the Eagles. I see the Eagles, again. I think when I see these quarterback lists and stuff, a lot of times I think Jalen Hurts getting the short end of the stick because we see him 8th, 9th, and 10th as far as best quarterbacks in the NFL. I've seen Jaden Daniels. I love Jaden Daniels, but a lot of times you see him 5th. I'm like, what are we doing here? This guy's 26. He's been in 2 Super Bowls. He's won one. He was Super Bowl MVP. And if they would have beaten the Chiefs in 57, he would have two rings and a two-time Super Bowl MVP. He was that close.
He'd be talked about completely different. And everyone likes to prop up. He has this great super team around him. That's why he's so good. They don't do that with Saquon Barkley, though. Saquon Barkley's got the best offensive line in football. People don't say, well, Saquon's only good because of the O-line. Yeah. Everyone loves Saquon, so why do we draw the line there with Jalen Hurts when we don't do it with other players on that system? Makes no sense.
A few of the other interesting ones, I think, the Steelers at 8.5. I love the over on that.
Is that just a given every year?
Tomlin's going to have a winning record every year. He had Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf. Yeah, they're getting it,
man. Do the people in Vegas even have to like do the math or anything on Pittsburgh every year? 8.5. That's where we're putting it every year. Do you think Tomlin's going to go over 500 or not?
I mean, he is, and he will.
He never won't. He always will.
Now, an interesting one here to me is, well, a couple of them. The Bears at 8.5. Everybody's thinking big things. I love their receivers. Love Odunze, and I love Burden going there. New head coach, new system. I mean, I'm not a huge Caleb guy. It was more of a Jaden Daniels, but he does put up some numbers.
Have you seen the Bears' schedule this year? It's pretty brutal.
It's tough. So the 8.5, that's kind of where they're getting there. I would still take the over on it, though.
I think I'd go under.
Would you take the under? Okay.
It's a tough. I'd
that's
see
fair because that schedule, it's fair.
Maybe going around 7-10. I think out of the gate, it might not be smooth sailing for Caleb and that offense. It might take them till October to get going in the new system.
Now, another interesting one is the Bengals at 9.5. And this is interesting because that offense is still ridiculous. Joe Burrow is chucking it around, man. Jamar Chase won the Triple Crown for receivers last year in three different categories. T. Higgins, they gave the big... I wouldn't have paid T. Higgins, but they did. And that offense is still going to be a good offense if they can keep Joe Burrow on his feet, because that's been a problem with Joe Burrow taking a bunch of hits. But that defense, man, they lose Jermaine Pratt. He let him in tackles. He's at the Raiders because they didn't want him. They didn't want to sign him. Trey Hendrickson's so pissed he moved back down to Florida. Still under contracts, but he's led the NFL in sacks the last 2 years combined. You know, so I would maybe take the under on the Bengals right at 9 wins.
I think because they finished the season hot, people are going to be high on them again. But people need to remember, they beat two teams last year with a winning record. It was the last 2 weeks of the regular season. It was Denver and Pittsburgh. The rest of the season, they didn't beat anybody with a winning record. So I'm kind of with you there. I think nine wins is about where they should sit until proven otherwise.
And here's an interesting one. Let's look at the AFC West. So the Chiefs, 11.5. So Vegas saying Chiefs going to win the division.
I'd smash that over.
The Broncos at 9.5. Ooh. Do you see the Broncos getting to 10 wins? Because I could see them getting to 10 wins. I would go the over on this one because I love that defense. I love the fact is in the draft in the first round, I like their draft pick better than anybody else over Genty and all these guys. I like Jahdae Barron.
He was one of my top corners as well.
It makes sense because you got to look at this division. All right, who's won it 9 straight years? All right. How do we stop Mahomes? It's not drafting a running back. It's drafting a defensive back or an edge rusher.
Surtain and Jahdae Barron, if he pans out to be the player that I think me and you both think he will be, is going to be a ridiculous cornerback duo in Denver.
A really interesting one is the Raiders at 7.5. Because,
man,
they are going to be improved, but getting the 7 wins... Maybe the Raiders being 7-10. I mean, that's still, you know, a very average football team, you know, that can win some games. But I would take the under, to be honest with you.
How many games do you think they win in the division this year? 2?
Yeah.
About 2. So then outside of that, they've really got to perform pretty well.
So you go under on the Raiders too?
I'd probably go under.
Okay. And last but not least in the division, the Chargers at 9.5.
This is an interesting one.
Hampton's back there behind Herbert. They still have no receivers, though. That is still, and Quentin Johnson can't catch the football.
Couldn't catch a cold.
Mike Williams retires. They're screaming for Keenan Allen. I mean,
they got there last year with no receivers.
McConkey.
Yeah, Ladd McConkey did a good job.
I don't know, man. Is you know what? I'm not high on the Chargers to 10 wins. I'd go 9.
If you had to take...
So that hook.
Yeah, so you're taking Denver over L.A. this year.
I am.
Okay. And you're pretty confident Raiders fourth place.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think it's ridiculous. I think the only given
they're good. If the Raiders are going to beat teams, but getting to 7-10, okay.
The only given in the AFC West, in my opinion, is the Chiefs win it. Other than that, the other three teams, I could see the season going a variety of different ways.
Here's one for your under, Saints 6.5.
Way under.
There you go.
I don't know if this. I think if that was 4.5, I might go under. I think they're a bad football team.
Ooh, they love the Niners, 10.5. I'd take the under on that one, too.
Yeah, it's hard to trust them injury-wise.
The Rams at 9.5, I take the over because I do like.
I would, too.
That was the team coming on last year. And you get a quarterback that's won a Super Bowl and Devontae Adams now in the picture at wide receiver.
Right.
Yes, they lose Cooper Kupp, but they added Devontae Adams.
I think they upgraded there because Kupp's never healthy.
And Puka's ridiculous.
I think the Rams are the biggest threat to the Eagles winning the NFC again. I think they're the biggest challenger.
And Puka Nacua is ridiculously good.
Yeah.
For a third, fifth-round pick of the Rams. They had three that year.
Good Puka grief.
Was their third, fifth-round pick.
And he's one of the top guys in the league now.
But an anomaly with the Chiefs' schedule, they're going to be doing something that's never been done in the history of the NFL. I'll explain next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden producing the operation. The last Thursday night without football until February.
You heard me? My goodness, we're there. We're right there.
Kansas had released a statement earlier on Bill Self. Did you hear about any of this?
I have. I saw it pop up on my phone.
Here's
while we
what
were.
The statement said. All the news stations, I kind of wanted to wait and make sure that when people put it out there, but it said Kansas men's basketball coach Bill Self felt unwell, experienced some concerning symptoms, transported to Lawrence Memorial, where he had two stents put in. The procedure went well. He's expected to make a full recovery. He's in good spirits and expects to be released from the hospital soon. So once enough news put it out there and Julio Sanchez telling me, we're good to go there. But hey, Julio, it's the last Thursday without football, man, till February. Well, I gave a PSA yesterday, right, Jackson? It's like if you have a date or with your wife or she wants to go out to dinner somewhere or whatever, you do this stuff now, man. Like, this is your weekend to do that stuff. And, yeah, you can do the preseason stuff. But, you know, in a month, your college football on Saturday, man.
Start planning those dates for Tuesday and Wednesday nights.
You got to, man. Like,
but even then, you're missing the action. So you,
yeah, you can't miss that. It's my
you favorite. Can't miss the action. So you honestly, it's now or never, ladies. The date's got to be now. Football's coming.
It's got to be now. PSA. You know,
let it out. Let everyone know. The offseason's almost done.
I mean, you had your time, man, since the had Super Bowl till now. Well, of course, the draft comes up and
right.
It captivated people's attention, but there's been a lot of date night, you know, opportunities.
Right.
You know?
It's time to get back into football.
And, you know, Thursday night's out of the way. Can't do that one. Can't do Monday night. Maybe a Tuesday night here and there. Yeah.
The NFL started to put games on Fridays even, so.
Exactly. So
it consumes our lives, man.
The Chiefs played every day of the week but Tuesday.
Right.
Here's what Warren Sharp from Sharp Football put this out. He just analyzes schedules. I always like his stuff when he looks at the schedules and he does like who's got the most net rest because, you know, a few years ago, the Chiefs had the least amount of net rest because they were playing a ton of teams with their bye weeks. The Chiefs were playing teams on short weeks and everything. The Chiefs didn't have that rest that they needed. But Sharp puts this out. The Chiefs are the first team NFL history to receive 5 primetime games in the first 8 weeks of the season. So 5 prime, first 8. They would be the Chargers in Brazil, week 3 at the Giants, Sunday Night Football. I have no idea how that ended up on Sunday Night Football, to be honest with you. Week 5 at Jacksonville, Monday Night Football, head scratcher again. Week 6 versus Detroit, Sunday Night Football. That makes sense. Week 8 versus Washington, Monday Night Football, that makes a ton of sense. Little Jaden versus Patrick, love that. But also they have Thanksgiving and Christmas Day games as well. So the league likes to find the Chiefs, likes to find their players or whatever. I'm just saying, sometimes it's got to look the other way, NFL, because the Chiefs are making you money, man. You're loading the Chiefs up. You're putting them on Thanksgiving all the time. Well, the Christmas all the time. Well, the Chiefs ask for that too. They ask to be the kind of the Christmas
They
want to
be
game.
The Christmas team now.
But you knew when Dallas was on the schedule for the Chiefs this year in Dallas, you knew that would end up on Thanksgiving.
100%.
That honestly, even though the Cowboys, by the way, they're over under 7.5. Not a lot of respect in Vegas for the Cowboys, which they haven't earned respect, but people still watch their games at nauseam. People still love the Cowboys. That game being a standalone game,
it's going to set
Thanksgiving
records.
You know, that will be the highest rated when the numbers come out, you know, later that Friday or whatever that weekend, that will be the highest rated regular season game
in the history of the sport.
Probably the history. The Super Bowls, it won't match those.
No.
Because that is a true standalone game. At least there's other games.
Even people that don't care about football watch the Super Bowl.
But Kansas City in Dallas on Thanksgiving, people sitting around having their turkey, watching the game, it'll be great. And it'll be a fun Thanksgiving for people. It will, because, you know, Thanksgiving is always fun, but you get family over, your friends. Now you can sit down, you can watch Chiefs, you don't have to worry about going out to the game. It's down in Dallas, you can flip on the TV, tell your uncle to shut up and stop farting, and watch the game.
The only downside is the family's going to think I'm a psychopath with the Chiefs playing on all these holidays. Now I'm going to be losing my mind at the TV. They're going to wonder what happened to the nice guy who would just sit around the table. Well, NFL put the Chiefs on these holidays.
Jackson,
don't blame me.
You just show them your issues.
Yeah.
I'm sure the other people same way.
Yeah. Hey.
Because a lot of people have gotten that way when they watch the games. Because they get
into them.
I'm the
yell at the TV guy for sure.
I mean, I know people that aren't real football people. But when the Chiefs are on, they're football people. They get it. They all of a sudden understood your obsessions for years.
Right.
Like me going out and throwing away jerseys and stuff by playoff losses after loss with Schottenheimer years, where you get mad and you're upset and you punch holes in the drywall and you end up putting pictures over those holes, which I've done. You go to a carpeted room in the basement to pound the floor because people can hear you. Yeah. Now they can see how you acted was actually normal because they themselves are doing the same thing when they're watching Chiefs games.
I think the last time I actively threw away Chiefs gear was the game they lost to the Chargers on Thursday night, Mahomes' first year starting. Remember, they were up 14. Mm-hmm. Chargers came back in the last 5 minutes.
Got a two-point conversion.
And I threw a Chiefs hat in the garbage that night. I was so frustrated.
Did you go back and get it?
Yeah. I didn't actually throw it away, but for a couple of minutes, it was in the trash. I was so angry.
You were just mad because, you know, it's a long off season, and now it's a very short off season. All the Super Bowls they've been racking up, they're done in February. Boom, you got the combine coming up. Then you got the draft. You got OTAs. It didn't even seem like they had an offseason, did it?
Not really.
It's a very, very short offseason. And for the front office, it's not, because you go straight from the Super Bowl to evaluating talent.
Well, Bink, they're playing a whole extra month than every other team every year.
Oh, Mahomes and Kelce and Jones and that crew. And Butker, they've played more.
They've played a whole other season by this point.
They played more football than anybody else. That was the whole thing that cracked me up about when they rested their starters in 17 and everybody threw a fit about it, even though everybody else did it. The Rams did it. The Lions did it. Everybody's. The Bills did it.
Josh Allen started.
Well, Josh Allen against the Patriots last week of the season, Jackson, he played one play.
Right.
The first play.
Just so he could get credit for the start.
Yes. So he could get credit for a start.
Keep his consecutive start streak going.
Yeah.
But
it was like a handoff or something.
I remember being, people were saying, the Chiefs just don't want the Bengals in the playoffs. That's why they're resting all their starters. You know what's more egregious? Buffalo resting all their starters in a game against New England that costed New England the first overall pick. I mean, New England could have got Travis Hunter had they just lost that game and Buffalo tried.
It was just narrow-sighted Chiefs hate that you get.
Which we're getting a lot of these days.
And you're going to get a lot more this year. It's coming, man.
Chiefs fatigue is real.
If they lose the first couple there, or one of the two, the first two, because they're going to be tough games.
For sure.
It's going to be the downfall. I always warn people in the post game too, you know, if the Chiefs come out and lost or something, I'd be like, it's coming, man. It's coming tomorrow. You might as well not watch NFL Network. Don't watch ESPN Live, because they're going to tell you how much your team sucks. And they don't learn. When the Chiefs went 9-6, we're 9-6 at the time of losing the Raiders on Christmas. That was full-on meltdown mode nationally, man.
It was panic time. The red button was pressed.
Yeah, and I bring it up all the time, all the people like saying the dynasty's over and all this. Mahomes is 29.
Right.
He turns 30 this year. But I bring it up. Steve Young built his Hall of Fame career in his 30s.
Kurt Warner, same thing.
Same thing. Aaron Rodgers got MVPs in his 30s. Tom Brady
MVPs in his 40s.
In his 30s and his 40s.
Right.
So Peyton Manning was awesome in his 30s. Peyton Manning took 6 years to win a playoff game, too.
Some of those guys' best seasons were in their 30s.
They were. It's a running back's downfall time. It's a wide receiver's downfall time in the 30s. It's defensive linemen's kind of slower pace. You start to hit that wall. It is not that way for quarterbacks.
Well, and a lot of that has been the NFL protecting the quarterback so much in the past 15 years now.
I mean, look at Flacco still out doing his deal at his
right.
old age.
They don't let those guys get hit because the NFL knows the quarterback's where the money comes in. Once the quarterback gets hurt, nobody wants to, like the Jets a couple years ago. Rodgers got hurt. That was a disaster because they had the Jets on prime time throughout the whole season. But, and it was a disaster because then nobody wanted to watch that Jets team.
But the Chiefs have helped out the partners in TV so much. Like ESPN, they're going to get a Super Bowl here in a few years, right? Well, the docuseries that's going to get ratings, right, that ESPN. Peacock, they actually had the Bills and Chargers playing their first game, remember? But their first playoff game on Peacock only was the Chiefs. The first ever Netflix game was the Chiefs. The first ever Amazon Prime game was the Chiefs. And believe it or not, the first ever Thanksgiving night game was the Kansas City Chiefs and Denver Broncos. In modern era,
right?
They use
Chiefs drive in ratings. I mean, they do. There's just no debating it because even if you don't like them, you watch them. You root against them. There's something to hate.
That's why it was smart for the NFL to give the Chiefs the draft. Like they deserved it, man. If there's anything more deserving of getting that, it was the Chiefs for all the crap they do for the NFL.
I think they've done a fantastic job of picking the cities to go to. Kansas City was a slam dunk. Detroit was starving. They're such a great fan base. They finally get a good team.
Oh, Cleveland was awesome.
Vegas. Green Bay was really nice.
Actually, they get a Super Bowl. I like the non-Super Bowl cities getting the draft.
That too.
I
mean,
I think it'd be fine in
Cincinnati. But I think it'll be cool in Pittsburgh this year, upcoming year.
Oh, Pittsburgh would be fun.
Because Pittsburgh is a real football town. That's one of the best fan bases in football. I'm really excited for that one as well.
To be honest with you, as much as I hate to say it, it'd be fun in Buffalo too.
It's hard to think of places that wouldn't be fun. Football fans will just flock anywhere.
But I know they will do it in Super Bowl cities that get the Super Bowl, but they try not to do that. But getting it in Kansas City and Green Bay and Detroit, Cleveland, now Pittsburgh, this is what they should do.
I like doing it in the middle of the country. Those Midwest teams, those Midwest football fans, you know, occasionally we're going to get New York and we're going to hit some of the coastal places that are more popular, but
the Dallas Stars,
right? But let's get Kansas City and the Midwest and those central real diehard fans something cool to go to, and I love it.
So interesting stuff with the Chiefs schedule. It's not going to be easy, but we always look at the Chiefs schedule and think, what's good? Then they go out and play.
Last year, I remember looking at it and saying, Baltimore and Cincinnati immediately? Yeah. And then we got to go to Atlanta on primetime?
You have the best of the best quarterbacks going. Yes, in Atlanta.
I was like, bringing my cousins
and Bijan back there. And Bijan didn't do crap.
Playing on Wednesdays. I mean, no rest. Early bye week as well. They really, last year, everyone looked at the schedule and were like, this is brutal. They go 15-1.
The only guy with over 100 yards rushing against Chiefs last year was Lamar at the quarterback position.
Running back did it.
Anyway, regardless, it's practice four tomorrow for the Kansas City Chiefs as we wrap this up.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden, producing the operation. Text line asked me, give me a number on Mahomes' touchdown passes. On FanDuel, the over is 27.5 at -114. Under 27.5, -114. I'll take the over on touchdown passes for Patrick Mahomes.
I will as well.
Because I do think this is going to be a return to down the field. I mean, last year, it's all we saw. You know, the bombs, but then obviously things changed, right? Things changed really quickly. As far as when you lose your 1 and 2, your numbers do go down, right? Like Justin Watson's not exactly going to carry that mantle for the team. Now, Patrick Mahomes at 27.5. I mean, he did have 26 last year. I mean, basically, you lose your 1 and 2 for the year. So far, he's done 50, 26, 38, 37, 41, 27, 26. So he didn't hit on the year of 26, the 27. Keep in mind, the scoring offense was 15th in points per game on those 2 years. But he's had the 50, the 38, the 37, the 41. I'd put Mahomes in the 30 range. I think 35 touchdowns for Mahomes. And a full-size Mahomes, not a mini Mahomes, full-size one. Anyway, thanks to Julio Sanchez tonight. Thanks to Jackson Ogden. Loving this stuff, Jackson. We got some good stuff going on. You here next week?
I will
on
be.
On Thursday night? I'll be here too. We'll have the first NFL game to talk about. Don't forget, Bob Fesco. Dusty's on vacation, so Bob Fesco, 5:58 in the morning. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.